As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to first and foremost apologize because the dryer is running. If you're hearing it in the background, it's because the foster dog peed on the floor, and I had to use all of our towels to clean it up.
The foster dog peed on the floor several times.
Yeah.
Going for an indoor record, I think.
This is good news. I know it doesn't feel like it, but it is good news because now he's perky enough to make accidents in the house.
That's true.
Silver linings.
So it's the Inbox of Oddities, and we appreciate all of you, whether you've written in or not, of course, but thank you for those who have sent us emails or messages or posting on social media.
Yeah, we love it. We have another thing that we do, which is the Freak Family Favorites, where you send us your favorite episode. Well, you don't send us the episode. You reach out to us and say, hey, this was my favorite episode, and we make an episode out of that as well. And so we appreciate that. And we have to do that next, which is why I'm saying I appreciate it when you help us do that, because we need you to do that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Laura writes, hello, freaks. I've been listening to you since the beginning. I also listen to The Shallow End. I can't express how much I enjoy the content that you produce. So firstly, thank you.
No, thank you.
I had to share this event with you. I've had many boo effects, but was too shy to share them. But this was just so freakishly weird. I'm not even sure if I should call this a boo effect, but here we go. I was listening to episode 553 while I was cleaning out some of my garden beds. I'm a bit behind on my listening as of this date. I was in the middle of Jethro's segment when I found three young bunnies in my asparagus patch. Is this from Beatrix Potter?
Oh my God.
They were so stinking cute. However, these cute little demons were eating the tops off my tasty asparagus.
Of course, yes.
This bed had taken me 5 years of care to establish. You can imagine the turn of emotions, irritation, and then, oh, they're so cute.
Right.
Now I'm very much an animal lover. I caught one of the bunnies to show the kids, and hubby, meanwhile, desperately trying to figure out what to do to save my asparagus and the bunnies. This whole time, the podcast is still playing in my headphones. I asked my hubs to take the pods out of my ears while I was holding the cute little bunny. After the kids were done fawning over the bunny, I put the
bunny back in the box. That was from Con Air. Please continue.
After the kids were done fawning over the bunny, I put it back in the asparagus bed with its siblings until I could figure out what to do. I asked my hubs for my pods back, and the podcast was still playing. And the first words I heard when I put the earbuds back in was Jethro saying in an exasperated tone, "Let the bunnies go." Well, okay then. Immediately, I heeded this voice from on high. I scooped up the bunnies and I moved them to another lush part of the property with nearby brush for shelter. They were fairly big and obviously able to forage for themselves. I hope they're safe, but tonight I'm putting some fencing around my asparagus patch and looking for some safe bunny deterrence. Oof. Hopefully, Jethro's intervention and reassurance on the proper action in this situation gets him some brownie points with Cat.
I like it. I think the idea of you handing out advice just from random episodes, randomly selected and put into your ear holes.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old magic eight ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can make anything fit.
Pretty much.
To be the answer.
That's 99% of the shows that you watch.
Shut up.
Clark sent us a message. Hey, y'all, I'm listening to episode 618 and just finished The Thing in the Middle. I thought I should write in to tell you that in my 28 years on this earth, I have inadvertently owned 3 female orange kittens. 2 of them are also long hairs. I didn't realize how rare they were until a few years ago. I'll send y'all a picture of my beautiful 10-year-old baby, Peaches. Her full name is actually Peachy Poo, the Viking kitty. I learned last year that Vikings actually bred orange cats because of how much they loved them. Thanks for reaffirming how dope my little Viking is. Hope y'all are well and that there hasn't been too many screaming children around you recently. Clark, I appreciate you.
Our email address is curator@theboxofoddities.com. Maddie sent us this. So I was listening to the latest episode of Box of Oddities 617 when I heard y'all cover the train tracks of Gurdon. And it was like, oh my God, I went there. Oh. This is the story of the
headless lantern man.
Well, he wasn't headless that we know of. That's just something that you've decided to add to the story. Like anybody's going to believe he's headless. So like 11 years ago, back when I was in high school, I was visiting my cousin in Monroe, Louisiana. It's about a 2-hour drive to Gurdon. And late at night, we lied to our parents saying we were going to go visit my cousin's friend. Well, we did pick her up. But then we drove across state lines to go to these train tracks.
Nice.
In the middle of the night. From what I was told, the glowing orb is actually a ghost, which is why we went there. Anyway, we didn't see anything, but we had a fun adventure for 17-year-olds.
Yeah, no. Just driving for teenagers is a fun adventure.
But when you add crossing state lines in the middle of the night, it's like a dream come true.
So next July is our 10th wedding anniversary, and we wanted to do something really special and interesting that we hadn't done before. So we booked and have since canceled a Viking cruise on the Danube. I was so excited about this, but then we found out that my mom has cancer, and it just kind of like,
yeah,
it just isn't a good time to be planning European trips. So I was going through my emails trying to figure out how to cancel this cruise, and I came across this email from Brian, who we had booked the cruise with. Brian said, "Hi, y'all. I'm hooked on your podcast."
Wow.
Brian, I love you so much. I love that we were just talking about like what we do. And he's like, okay, I will go listen to that. I have to thank you for leading me to it. Honestly, I catch up every day a new one is released. And I started going back through the ones I haven't heard. I'm going to write this really quick so I don't get in trouble. I assume that he was still at work. Love the Rendlesham Forest story and listen to the book free if you subscribe on Audible. And Jim and John wrote it and it was amazing. I really like the Aztec UFO story as well. That is so incredible how I didn't even know about that one. And it's rarely talked about. I just wanted to give you guys a shout out and say I have to follow you on every platform possible and keep that freak flag flying high.
Wow. Now I feel bad about canceling the cruise.
I know. Maybe we should send Brian a present.
Maybe we should, or at least promise to talk to him when we rebook. Stephanie writes, "Hey guys, I'm literally writing this to you before I even finish listening to the episode. As soon as Kat started talking about belly button stuff, I knew she was going to be talking about peeing out of the belly button."
Yeah.
3 days ago, I learned about this from a TikTok. I even shared it as a, quote, fun fact at work. And everyone was so grossed out. But I thought it was awesome. Well, now in the episode, you're talking about the pee coming out of the belly button. I'm psychic or psycho? Not really sure. I just knew you were going to go there. And it brought me so much joy.
I'm so, so happy.
I had another boo effect a couple of weeks ago. I was telling my mom about how stones in certain places can play back traumatic events like a tape. The stone tape theory. I said it's like a haunting, but not intelligent, just playing back a certain point in time. I told her, I don't know enough about it to be able to speak intelligently. But then the very next day, you gave me a whole education on it. I thought it was awesome. These are my first two boo effects, and they happened so close together. Just thought I would share. You guys rock. Thanks for keeping me entertained and educated. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie. Michaela writes, hello, I just listened to your podcast number 505 about shadow people, and it had jogged my memory of two separate instances that I dealt with, and is probably the reason why I prefer to have some sort of light on while I sleep. The first instance of what I believe is a shadow person was maybe 15 years ago. I remember being in bed. I don't remember if I was asleep or half asleep, but I felt something at the top of my steps leading into my bedroom.
Ooh.
And I saw a large shadowy mass. I turned the light on and it vanished. But every night since that day, for over a week, it would appear in different places in my room, close to my closet, by my window. It was getting closer every night, until the last night it was above my head as I was lying in bed.
Oh my God.
Not really a shape, but I know it had a head that stared at me and I could feel it. Now, next time I dealt with a shadow person, I'm still convinced it was my aunt who passed 2 weeks prior. She was a hateful person and I didn't interact with her at all. But one night I was woken up by this shadowy creature with red eyes that grabbed onto and yanked my ankle. I instantly knew it was my aunt, and it made me sense that someone so hateful couldn't move on, and so then became earthbound. But that's enough of my stories. Thank you for jogging my memories.
No, thank you.
Sorry, Michaela. That sounds awful.
Thank you for allowing us to jog your memories.
Oof.
Haley sent us this story about my old stomping grounds of Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Now, I've heard these types of tales about this specific area before, but she'll give us more details.
My name is Haley, and this is my paranormal experience. In Tucson, Arizona, there's a famous hiking destination called Sabino Canyon, and one of its most popular trails is Seven Falls, where, after crossing a river in multiple locations, hikers find themselves at a basin of seven waterfalls that feed one another. It's very pretty. In high school, a group of friends and I went to hike the Seven Falls Trail. The canyon was mostly empty when we set off because it had been raining. It had been raining, and yet we decided to continue anyways. Halfway through our hike, the rain stopped, and the sun came out, and eventually we made it to the falls. No one else had been on the trail while we were hiking, so we were surprised to see a boy our age already at the falls when we got there. After maybe 10 or 20 minutes of enjoying our destination, we hear the boy speak up. "You should go." We looked around and we saw he was right. The water was rising around us and our path out was about to be flooded from the earlier rainfall rushing down the mountains. Flash floods are not a thing to be taken lightly in the desert. We gathered our things and asked him if he wanted to come with us down the trail, but he just smiled and said he was okay. As we went back down, the single file trail filled with water. We reached the first river crossing, and there was the boy, just sitting on a rock, waiting for us. Now, there was no way that he could have passed us without us noticing. It was as though he just appeared. We crossed the river before him, and the water was halfway up our calves. We got to the second river crossing, and there he was again, smiling and waiting for us to safely cross the quickly rising water. Keep in mind, it's a single file trail and there was nowhere for him to have passed us. The water was past our knees at this crossing, and afraid for the boy to cross by himself, we asked him again if he wanted to come with us. Again, he said no. Finally, when we reached the third and final river crossing, the water was up to our waists, and it was rushing so hard that we would be swept away if we didn't have one another to hang on to. We didn't know how to cross the river. And then the boy appeared out of nowhere, already on the other side. And he just crossed back to our side, as if to show us the right pathway across. And then he disappeared. There was nowhere where he could have gone to without being in a torrent of water. We made it out of the canyon that day. According to the 6 o'clock news that night, more than a few people had to be airlifted out or rescued from the water. Without that boy, who we jokingly referred to as, but maybe not so jokingly referred to as, the spirit of Sabino Canyon, I think we probably would have been part of those numbers.
So as we've talked about before, when you want to join the Freaks group on Facebook, you have to answer a few questions. And one of them is, do you hereby solemnly swear that you will be nothing but sweetness to your fellow freaks with love in your heart and pants or something like that?
Right. Which led to a lot of people joining the group that thought it was something else entirely.
Yeah, we had to add a new rule that was like, do you understand that this is not some sort of bonkers sex club? Sometimes people respond to that question so beautifully, and I love sharing those. Justine said, yes, I hereby swear to have love in my heart and pants because my dogs fill my lap with love while I listen to you guys.
Aw.
Adorable.
That's cute.
Ash said, I solemnly swear to love all fellow freaks. However, I do have apprehension at sharing the love in my pants without consent, as that may end me up on some sort of register.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Always important to look ahead like that.
It's wise. Matthew responded, pants? You mean I gotta wear pants? Jeez,
no.
Fine, I guess.
Not required, but...
Christy answered, yes, I promise not to be a dillweed. And my favorite one is, I do hereby swear to be nothing but like the taste of water near cemeteries.
God, I love the Freak family. If you're not a member of the group Freaks, a Box of Oddities podcast group, we'd love to have you there. Megan sent this email. Kat and Jethro, I've been waiting for a chance to send you guys this story for quite some time. To begin with, I want to give you a little backstory. When I was about 13 years old, my parents split. My dad bought a new home. We learned that a few years prior to his purchasing that home, there was a car accident involving a car of teenagers and one of the trees on the property. Oh. Sadly, two of the teens did not survive. When we moved in there, we were still finding car parts in our yard from the accident.
Oh, I hate that.
And their families had memorials set up near the tree. I always had a sense that there was a spirit in our home, and I was pretty much terrified of the dark. Our bathroom light would turn itself on and off. You could hear footsteps at night. And there was just a really off feeling. I shared a room with my sister upstairs. One night, I was probably 15 or 16, I had what I sincerely hope was just a very horrifying, vivid dream. The, quote, dream began with me in bed, with my covers suddenly being yanked off me. I started to feel my legs being pulled and ended up being pulled completely out of my bed by my feet. My sister's bed was very close to mine, and when I got pulled almost out of the room, I reached and grabbed the foot of her bed to try to stop myself from being pulled further. When I did this, my wrist was scratched on something, causing me to let go. Oof. I began to try screaming and no sound came out of my mouth. This force that was pulling me got me out of my room, still dragging me by my feet, and started to pull me toward the top of the staircase. Just as I was about to be pulled down the stairs, whatever was pulling me let go, like it was no big deal. I stood up and walked back to my room and got back into my bed and fell straight to sleep. I woke up in a panic, but tried to calm myself down until I noticed I had a scratch on my wrist.
No, stop it.
To this day, I have no idea what actually happened that night, but it is something I will always wonder about. Thanks for making an awesome podcast that makes my workday go by faster. I will keep flying my freak flag. Thanks, Megan.
Oof.
From Indiana, by the way. A very haunted state, from what I'm told.
It's the word on the street. And now it's time for emails from the vault. Excuse me. Emails from the vault.
Some water, perhaps?
Thank you. Hello, all, writes Tori in August of 2022. I am a new listener to the podcast, but I am loving it. I'm also completely loving your sister baby podcast, The Shallow End. I'm hooked. Keep up the good work. Anywho, quick question. Is there such a thing as a reverse boo effect? I'll explain. I was not used to grocery shopping with my young children, so when the pandemic hit and the daycares closed, I had to start bringing my kids to the grocery store with me. This was both an exasperating and teachable time. I was explaining to my daughter that we needed bacon. She's six, but was four at the time. I was explaining that bacon came from pigs and we had to find the pig meat section, just like steak comes from cows, which is in the beef section. She blurts out, "Where is the human meat section?" The seniors within earshot smiled politely, and I hoped that they did not hear. Fast forward to my binge listening of your podcast, specifically Box 460, Human Meat and Beef Steam. Did I just have my first boo effect? Maybe. But listen to this. As school is out during summer, I again have to grocery shop with my children. This after having discovered your enlightening podcast and having recently listened to Box 460. As we entered the butcher section, she again reminded me that she used to wonder where the human meat was kept. Again, within earshot of kindly shoppers. Is this a double boo effect? Feel free to answer this on your podcast and to use my name, as I am dying for the answer and would feel horrible if I made a boo effect related faux pas so early in my Box of Oddities listening career. Flying my brand new freak flag, Tori.
No, Tori, that does qualify as a boo effect, certainly. And it reminds me of on our sister podcast, the one that Lindsay and I do, The Shallow End with Schnebly and Toth, he does fake commercials because he's a big time voiceover guy.
Yeah.
You've heard him on Allstate commercials and in movies. In fact, the first John Wick movie, you can hear him on the radio on the very first opening scene of the movie. You know, he does that kind of stuff. So he does fake commercials. And Tori's email reminds me of this one.
Plant-based foods have been around for ages, but only in the past few years have people started switching to plant-based burgers and steaks that taste like real meat. But what if you're a cannibal? Shouldn't you be able to enjoy plant-based food that tastes like real human flesh? Well, now you can. Introducing Human Plus Foods, the only plant-based food with the same taste and mouthfeel as real human meat. So you can get all the joys of cannibalism without the legal ramifications and mess of killing your fellow human beings. And only Human Plus offers a selection of foods that simulate human flesh. Want a little extra gristle and fiber with that mouthful of food? The Human Plus EG line simulates extra gristle. You worked hard to develop a taste for human flesh. Reward yourself with Human Plus plant-based foods. Available online or in your grocer's freezer. Human Plus plant-based foods.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. You know, as your kids get older, there are some things about parenting that gets easier. I remember once hearing my sister tell my little niece, "If you put your pants on, I'll give you some Fresca."
And when kids can start to reason that they get something if they do something right, it's a lot easier to manage them.
Having that conversation about money with your kids, that's not the easiest thing in the world. Fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that's where Greenlight can help.
Greenlight is a debit card and money app made just for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on the kids' spending and savings, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills.
Your kids will learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to the games that teach kids skills in a fun, accessible way.
When I was a kid, I had expected chores, and then I had bonus chores. And bonus chores were where I earned money. And so if you're thinking like, hey, my kids should be doing stuff around the house, yeah, no, you're not wrong. But maybe there's extra ways that they can learn how to be a successful financial money person.
What was one of the bonus chores that you had to do?
Rub my mom's feet.
And what did that pay?
I don't know, like a quarter or something.
Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate their life together.
Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/oddities. That's greenlight.com/oddities to try Greenlight for free.
Greenlight.com/oddities.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Heather sent us this email, and to further underscore what I was saying about Indiana being haunted, they say, I was just listening to the most recent inbox of oddities, and after hearing the story about the house in Gary, Indiana, I wanted to share my own story of when I went to visit the Haunted Museum. That's the Zach Bagans Museum, where pieces of the Gary, Indiana haunted home now resides. It's a few years ago, so forgive me if the details are a bit foggy, but when you first enter the museum, a museum staff member takes you into a small room before you can get into the real meat of the space, if you'll pardon the expression. So, we're in this room, and if memory serves me correctly, there was a dollhouse, a piano, and in the corner was an alcove. And in that alcove was floor-to-ceiling dolls. So the museum guide asked for two volunteers to look into this dimly lit alcove and asked us to concentrate and look at the dolls and see if any of them moved or spoke to us. So, of course, I was one of the volunteers. So myself and this other girl creep up to the alcove and we're straining our eyes and trying to concentrate. And then, all of a sudden, a little person dressed like Raggedy Ann crawled up out of a trap door in the bottom of the bookcase.
That's cruel and delightful.
Scared the absolute shit out of me. I screamed so loud that I scared most of the people in the group, and they didn't know what we were seeing. And I, flight mode activated, shoved the other girl to the front of where we were standing so that she would be attacked by Raggedy Ann instead of me. I think the staff were so taken aback by my reaction that the person playing the doll broke character and asked if I was all right. Looking back, it was heart attack inducing, but I am literally LOLing now as I regale you with this story. Thanks, Heather.
I love the idea of like, no, take her.
Yeah, not me. You first, bitch.
Cricket sent us a message. Well, it was actually a video from Jenny Lawson's TikTok where she'd found something weird in her yard and she couldn't identify what it was. And it was like a 7-part series about what is this thing in my yard?
Right.
And so I wrote back and I was like, I love Jenny Lawson. Cricket said I'd never seen her before, but I am hooked now. And I was like, I really like her books, highly recommend. So she said, if you're recommending it, I'm in, which got me to thinking about our new newsletter, which I'm currently working on. So each month when we release the newsletter, in it will be a recommendation of books or podcasts or movies or TV or whatever, some sort of recommendation, one from each of us. Unless there's something extra special, and then I'll do more because I don't like rules. But it'll be fun.
Oppositionally defiant much.
Shut up.
The other night I was watching the old Twilight Zone, and the episode came on, the one that was about the person that kept getting a call from a dead person.
Yes.
And they found that the phone line had fallen down and was on this person's grave. And,
right.
You know,
it was a pretty weak premise,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
I loved it as a kid. And it reminded me of this story that somebody sent us, this, oh gosh, years ago. And I was wondering if I could find it, and I did. And the call's not from a dead person, but it's equally as creepy.
Okay, here goes. I was living up in Portland, Oregon, and my husband was down in Berkeley in California. We were living apart for a few months while we were transitioning from Portland to the Bay Area. Anyway, One night, I'm fast asleep and my cell phone rings in the middle of the night. And I wake up, my cell phone is on the dresser across the room, so I had to get out of bed and walk over to the dresser to answer the phone. So I answered the phone and I said, "Hi." And my husband said, "Hi." And then there was silence. And I said, "What's up?" And he said, "You just called me and then you hung up." And I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Karina, you just called me." And I said, "Well, what did I say?" And he said, "Well, that's what's weird is that you said it was your voice and you said, 'I'm worried about Karina.'" I was a bit freaked out, and I said, I swear I didn't call you. I was asleep and I had to get out of bed to answer my phone. I said, let me just check my phone, the call log, you know." And sure enough, I hadn't called him. It was the last caller was him calling me just now. So, but he said, "Well, that's what's also weird is like when my phone rang, it was my name that came up, his name. His phone was calling him. And when he answered it, it was my voice on the other line." And he checked his call log and sure enough, it was his name on his phone that was calling him. I was standing in a dark corridor at the time, starting to get a little bit freaked out, and I could sense he was getting a bit freaked out too. He's never had anything like this happen to him, although he's heard a lot of my stories from the past. So there was no explanation. We never found an explanation. I contacted the phone company and it showed me how to look up your report of like calls made in the last month or so, and true enough, I hadn't called him at that night, and it showed that his phone had called him. I asked my mum because sometimes she and I sound alike on the phone, and she swore she didn't call him. She's like, "I've learned my lesson calling you in the night." She's like, "I won't call you because England, they're 8 hours ahead." So yeah, that's it. Pretty creepy to hear that someone that sounds just like you is calling your husband and saying they're worried about themselves.
So cell phones are haunted.
This is another email from The Vault. Aaron sent us this message. "I've been a longtime listener, but I think you were only on episode 3 when I found you. But only recently did I finally have what I think counts as my first Box of Oddities effect. I've been listening nearly nonstop lately in an attempt to catch back up, and recently I had you playing in my earbuds as I was walking into the grocery store. Kat was telling some true crime story. Well, I walked into the store and I went to grab a shopping cart, and I swear the second both my hands touched the handle, Kat said, 'So anyway, they got his fingerprints off a shopping cart.'" "The other supermarket shoppers in my general vicinity probably saw me jerk both my hands back from the cart as if it burned me, and immediately look around with a panicked and guilty look on my face as if the cops were after me. Oops." Thanks, Aaron.
That is hilarious.
I love it.
And I think this is a perfect email to end this episode with. It's a happy, heartwarming one. It's from Kelly. "You guys are great, and you're the only podcast my husband Gary listens to. I just loved hearing about the rescue of Lukey."
Aww.
"And I've got a cool rescue to tell you about. My name's Kelly, and it fits right in with the story. Okay, here goes.
Here goes.
One day, about 10 years ago, I was on my way to get groceries. Along the way, I saw a dead hound dog on the side of the road, and I felt terrible about the dog. And I thought about it the whole time I was shopping. On my way back home, as I was driving by the dog, I saw its tail wag."
No, you did not. Stop it.
I instantly turned around and went up to the dog, and it seemed unharmed but wouldn't get up. So I moved my groceries around and carried her to the car. When I got home, my husband and I found a nice spot in the shade and fed and watered her. She slept all day. We took her collar and found a tag with a phone number on it and called it up the next day. By this time, she was up and moving. Come to find out, she was a hunting dog and was trained about 20 miles away from where I found her and had been missing for 3 days. Her tracker battery was dead. So the guy comes to pick her up and I asked him, "What's her name?" And he said, "Sally." I think, wow, that was my mom's name. And he said, "I brought my daughter, Kelly, along to keep her company." Well, I almost fell over, but what I really wanted to mention is that I believe my mom whispered in that dog's ear, "Wag your tail, girl." It was warm that day, and I found her, and she was totally exhausted from running for 3 days. She would have died in the sun if she hadn't wagged her tail. That's my happy rescue story.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks for the podcast, and enjoy your new boy. Well, we have two boys now.
Well, one's temporary.
One's a foster.
Yes. Yeah. And I've been told that it's okay that I do this as long as it's only one at a time. I love rules.
Here's the only rule that we have for you. And it's not really a rule. It's more of a plea. Send us an email. Send us a message.
Tell us about your favorite episode.
Or tell us about your spooky experience. Or maybe just something funny that happened to you. We love hearing from you. And please, again, if you don't hear back from us, we can't respond to the vast majority of the emails. Please don't be offended by it. We do read every single one. In fact, this is kind of why we're doing the inbox, is so we can kind of respond to some of them.
Yeah, and share your incredible stories with everyone else, even if it's 2.5 years later.
From the vault.
We'll see you next time.
Until then, keep flying that freak flag.
And fly it proudly, you beautiful freak.
And so, let it be known that the Box of Oddities belongs to you, and its fate is in your hands. We wish to offer our deeply felt gratitude and appreciation for your patronage. TheBoxOfOddities.com. On Facebook at Facebook.com/Box of Oddities Podcast. And Instagram at Box of Oddities Podcast. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
If you like this podcast, can we recommend another one? It's called Big Picture Science. You can hear it wherever you get your podcasts, and its name tells part of the story. The big picture questions and the most interesting research in science.
Seth and I are the hosts. Seth is a scientist. I am Molly, and I'm a science journalist. And we talk to people smarter than us, and we have fun along the way. The show is called Big Picture Science, and as Seth said, you can hear it wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever wondered how inbred the Habsburgs really were? What women in the past used for birth control? Or what Queen Victoria's 9 children got up to? On the History Tea Time podcast, I profile remarkable queens and LGBTQ+ royals, explore royal family trees, and delve into women's medical history and other fascinating topics. Join me every Tuesday for History Tea Time, wherever fine podcasts are enjoyed.